I'm Sapna Lohani. This work is in collaboration of NRCS, USDA ARS, and the University of Missouri in Columbia. Are you timing my presentation? Thank you. To introduce you with the work, the Census of Agriculture done by USDA in 2012 says 40.3% of land in US is farmland. That includes the cropland, the pasture land, and the woodland. In the same report, the major concerns from the agricultural lands are soil erosion, sediment, and nutrient loss. Nutrient loss meaning the nitrogen and phosphorus. The main drivers for these concerns, these losses, are the runoff and subsurface flows. With these major concerns, the NRCS has proposed the Soil Vulnerability Index, which is the SVI, and the Leaching Index, LI, to identify the inherently vulnerable areas as the national index for the croplands. The initial idea is used to use the SERGO database for all its parameters. The main parameters used for SVI and LI are hydrologic soil group, K-factor, slope, and organic soils. These parameters, these were tested in the Goodwater Creek watershed in Missouri. And the main findings of this study was DEMs are better than the SERGO slopes. Just a summary, the main parameters for the Soil Vulnerability Index are the hydrologic soil group, soil erodibility factor, and the DEM. For the leaching index, it's all the three parameters plus the organic soils. So the main objective of our study is to identify the areas which are inherently vulnerable to runoff and leaching, giving to the soil nutrient loss, so that we could identify the areas which need the conservation practices. Our study area, we are studying it in 9 different SEEP watersheds in the central, northeast, and southeast U.S. So the first part of the work is generating the risk maps based on the SVI and LI. So from the SERGO and the USGS DEM, from SERGO we get the two parameters, which are the hydrologic soil group and the K-factor. From the DEM we get the slope. Combining these three factors, we get the SVI map. We can get the organic soil parameter from the SERGO database, and combining the 4 different parameters, we can get the LI risk map. These two are the maps that I'm talking about, and we have done this for all the 9 different watersheds. The map on the left-hand side is the SVI map, and the one on the right-hand side is the LI map. We have the legend in below each of the map just for your convenience. So looking at this map in Little River Experimental Watershed in Georgia, according to SVI, the watershed is in low risk category, but looking at the LI map, it is in high risk category, most of the parts in the watershed. It is because this watershed is situated in a broad flood plains. That's why the infiltration depending on the shallow water table is high, which results into high leaching index. This is the South Fork of Iowa River in Iowa. It's looking at those two maps, even in this case, with the LI map, the watershed is in high risk category. It's because almost 50% of the soil in this watershed is hydric, because of which the artificial drainage system is being implemented in that area. It improves the agricultural production, but it also increases the subsurface flow and the pollutants. And also we found that 13% of the watershed is highly erodible. This is the Walnut Creek in Iowa. Looking at the maps, the case is similar to the watershed before. And this also owes to the artificial subsurface drainage which is done in that area. The fourth one is the Choptank watershed in Maryland. Unlike the other three maps that we just saw, in this case, both the maps show that the area is in low-risk category. But the major concern in the watershed is nutrient and sediment. This is the WE38 in Pennsylvania. It is a smaller version of the Mahantango watershed, if that sounds familiar to you. And looking at the SPI map, most of the area is in high-risk category. This is because most of the area is, the slope in those areas is greater than 6%. One of the limitations of SVI is the slope range is very small. Anything above 6% goes to the high-risk areas. Similar is the case in Goodwin Creek watershed, which is in Mississippi. In this watershed also, most of the watershed area is located in slope, which is greater than 6%. And in this case, there were a lot of gullied areas, which is not assigned any hydrologic soil group by the SIRGO database. But when we contacted the ARS team members in this watershed, and they assigned a soil group to that gullied areas, we find that most of the areas were in high-risk category. This is the Beasley Lake in Mississippi. Looking at both the SPI map and the LI map, the watershed is in low-risk category. But we got to know erosion is a major concern in this area, which is not shown by the SVI and LI maps. And this is the Mark Twain Lake watershed in Missouri. It has the 9 different sub-watersheds. Looking at the SVI map, it is a little high-risk watershed. And looking at the LI map, the watershed is in low-risk category. One of the reasons for this is in this watershed, we find clay pan soil in which there is very, very less infiltration and runoff is more. That is shown by the 2 maps. So looking at all these maps, wow, first part of our results is SVI and LI are simple. It's very efficient to identify the areas which are vulnerable to runoff and nutrient loss. But we have two limitations. Like I said, SVI has a narrow range for slope variation, and any areas which are more than 6% in slope will be directly categorized as high-risk areas. And another limitation is the highly gullied areas are not assigned any hydrologic soil group by the SIRGO database, so we won't be able to categorize those areas. The second part of our study was to validate this map, and now once we have the SVI and LI map, and it has categorized the area into 4 different classes, the second part is to validate it. The idea was to validate those maps with the nutrient loss, soil loss, sediment data, or any kind of risk assessment maps that is done in that area, for which the first question we were dealing with was, do SVI and LI help to explain annual nutrient load in water quality measurement? This was the small part of the validation we started with. For the water quality, we started with the Mark Twain Lake watershed, which has 9 sub-watersheds. We had nutrient loss data from 2005 to 2011. It includes the dissolved nitrogen, dissolved phosphorus, sediment, total nitrogen, and total phosphorus. Then we obtained the land cover data from NAS website, and we got for the years from 2006 to 2011. So the main idea we worked ahead was we divided the land cover into 6 different categories, from corn, sorghum to soybean, other agricultural lands, other non-agricultural lands, grass, pasture, and forest. And then we had these 4 risk maps. So we wanted to get a land cover fraction in each SVI category within the watershed. Once we have that, that would be our land cover factor. We had the rain factor. The land cover factor we had once with SVI and once without SVI. So we were comparing that with the annual load stream data that we had. The regression results that we got showed us SVI improved the identification of at-risk sites for most cases. The result was not significant for total nitrogen, total phosphorus, sediment, and dissolved phosphorus, but it improved the regression result for dissolved nitrogen. This was a regression result that we got, which showed that there was improvement using the SVI. We had different combinations of the land cover when we used the corn, sorghum, and soybean together. Then another case we had corn and sorghum, and then the other case was with soybean only. We had these combination working to show that SVI improves the identification. This validation is still in progress. So we are working with other parameters and other water quality data that can be obtained. So the main conclusion from our study is SVI and LI identified vulnerable areas in most, 7 out of 9 of the watersheds. SVI and LI inputs, they use very easily available parameters. We can download it from the SERCO database and the DEMs from the USGS. The preliminary results between the annual dissolved nitrogen and the SVI shows that SVI is a significant factor for nitrate transport. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you. Do I have time for questions? I have 3 minutes for questions. Yeah.
What were the predictions? Was sediment already pretty good? Is that why there was no improvement when you added in the water quality data? It seems like, you know, if you try to use SVI, it's going to be pretty good at predicting things like sediment. And then nitrogen may not be easy to predict because it, you know, really is a function of LI, not SVI.
Yeah, I appreciate your question, but when we are still going through the validation, but our preliminary investigation is showing that adding just SVI or not adding the SVI, we are already taking in account of the land cover factor, so the difference will be very less. And more not the land cover, but it's the rain factor that is affecting all this annual load, sediment, nutrient, and everything. So we are trying to neutralize the effect of rain and just to look the effect of those nitrogen and sediment, as you said. So, yeah, maybe. Thank you. I'll take that comment.